Okay, so we're gonna start a mosh pit right here. Anybody? Yeah? Okay. There was like five people really eager over there. Like, woo, I feel like that intro leads me to moshing and craziness. Anyway, my name is Josh, for those who don't know me this morning, and I have a question for you. How many have ever felt like this? Anybody? Have you ever felt like you raise your hands? Remember, I'm the youth pastor, which means I like interaction. Okay, thank you. Okay, so if you don't know what this is the meh emoji. I hear some people over there doing it fun. This is the meh emoji face, and I call it the passionless emoji, right? The feeling of kind of like, I'm not excited. I'm also like not depressed or angry. You know, it's the emotion that when somebody asks you if you want to go get ice cream and you're on the couch, you're like, I'd eat it. But I don't want to get up at this point in time, okay, right? Like, you know that feeling, okay? So the reason I show this morning is because I think whether we realize it or not, at different times in our lives, whether on Sunday mornings or throughout our week, throughout our week, okay, we have this emotion towards worship. And what I mean by that is that not that you hate worship or, you know, or that you don't like worship or anything like that, that we think worship is good. It's a part of being a Christian, but in reality, if we were honest with ourselves, a lot of us think, if I don't worship this week, it's not going to make that big of a difference. Right? I think if we're honest with ourselves, there are times in our lives we feel like this, that if I don't worship this week, it's not going to make that big of a difference. But the reality is that worship is incredibly important. It's not a side thing that God wants us to do. It's not about preference or feelings or whatever it may be. It's that worship is a vital part of our relationship with God and a vital part of what God wants us to do each and every single day. The reality is there's a lot at stake when it comes to worship. And so that's why this morning I want to talk about what engaging in worship looks like and why we should engage in worship, why it is so important, why we miss out on something deep with God and we miss out on a part of God's mission for our lives. To do that, we're going to take a look at Psalms. So Psalms has a lot to teach us about worship, as we discovered last week when John was talking about preparing our hearts for worship, and he talked out of Psalm 66. This week, we're going to be in a psalm called Psalm 100. Starting at verse 1, it says this, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." Now, if you guys are familiar with the Psalms, you know that Psalms are different from the rest of the books in the Bible, a lot of different books in the Bible. They're not stories. They're not like the letters Paul writes where it's just kind of explaining what it looks like to follow Christ and what Christ did. These are songs and poetry, a collection of songs and poetry. In reality, it's a collection of worship, because a lot of these Psalms were used in the Old Testament as worship songs. They sang them. I know, they don't always rhyme. It confuses us, okay? But they sang them. These were worship songs a lot of times. And so we learn a lot about worship through these songs. The other thing about the Psalms is they have a lot of different themes, but there's one theme that's very common throughout the Psalms that I like to call the calling theme. This idea that the song is communicating, calling God's people to do something, to action. And Psalm 100 is definitely a psalm where we have that happening. It's calling us to do something, to get up and take action. And the action it's calling us to, surprise, worship. Okay? It is calling us to worship. See, the first thing we need to understand about worship is that worship is not about preference. It's not an option. It's not something we just do on the side. It is a calling. We are all called to worship. See, we are all called to fully engage in worship. We are called to fully engage in worship. You were designed to worship. It is a part of your being. It is something you were created to do, and it is something that God calls you to do. He calls you to engage in acts of worship. You know, when I was a teenager, I was a typical teenager, and actually my parents are here this morning, so they'll find joy in this story. Okay, so I was a typical teenager, and what I mean that whenever an adult would talk to me, it was like the world, like it was like they were ruining the entire world. Okay, like that was like, this is my world, how dare you enter it, okay? That was the Josh attitude for a little while, for the most part. Okay, so, I loved listening to music, and that was one of the ways that I kind of tuned out everybody else. I had this thing called an iPod, younger people, it's how you got this, okay? So, it was an iPod. I had this 30 gig iPod, I loved it, I got it off of eBay. It was a little sketchy, but I loved that iPod, and I used to listen to it all the time, and we'd go to family stuff, and I was in the back of the car with my iPod in my ears, listening to music, you know, and not paying attention to anything anybody else was saying, okay? And I also did this thing that a lot of times I've discovered that as much as I love our teenagers, that we do this a ton, and I did it too. When people would ask me questions, I give what I like to call the one-word answer of like, how was your week? It was good. How's life? It's good. Anything different? No. You know, how's the band? Good. Like, to all adults in our family, probably for a while, my life just seemed good, okay? So, like, that was how I answered this idea of almost like, what? Why are you asking me questions, okay? Like, this was the attitude, okay, I had at family events and different things. And I look back on that, and we laugh about that, but it teaches us something, that just being present is not enough. That just being present is not engaging. I wasn't engaging in conversation. I was sort of engaging in conversation, but really it just seemed like, they're like, how dare you talk to me today, okay? Like, okay? When I had my headphones in and I wasn't listening, like that to me, I was, whether I realized it or not, I was communicating to everyone else that like, leave me alone, okay? And I was not engaging. Being present is not enough. And it is not what God's calling us to do. He's calling us to take action, to be present and engage, to engage fully in worship. Now, what does that look like? Well, to engage means to take action. We need to take action. And so what God wants from us, God wants us all to engage in various worship avenues. What do I mean by worship avenues? Well, I mean actions of worship, taking actions of worship. God has created avenues, places, things for us to do and be a part of that acts out worship, that is worship. See, notice at the beginning of this psalm, it doesn't say, God's people, stand here and listen. It says, worship, participate, be a part of what is going on, engage, take action. Yes, there are times that taking action means just listening to what God is saying to us, but if that's all we ever do, we are not fully engaging in worship. See, I think worship can be broken down into two areas. Often we think of worship, we think just of music. But worship is not just music. That's a huge part of worshiping and praising God, but there's a whole spectrum of things, of actions, of postures, of ways we live our life to worship. The one part is our lifestyle, the way that we live each day is actually worship. Romans 12:1 says, give your life as a living sacrifice, and that is your worship. That's the paraphrased Josh version, okay? So this is what it talks about, though, this idea that our lifestyle is also worship. The way we live our lives is worship. John talked about last week how worship should be called worth it. That worship is the action of saying something is worth it. In this case, it's God. And so when we choose to live our lives the way God calls us to live, to pursue him deeper, to live like Christ at work, to live like Christ at home, to pursue a deeper relationship with God, we are saying, God, you are worth it. And we are saying, God, I am worshiping you. There's the other part of it, though. There's the corporate side, what we do here on a Sunday morning. And this is just as important. This is just as important what we do here on a Sunday morning. Because we come together as a group and have avenues all morning of engaging in worship. And we take different steps. For some of you guys who just showed up to church, this is your first time here and you're engaging because you're here and you don't know what to think about everybody else that's standing around you, okay? You're engaging. But if you stay there, you're not gonna be engaging for the rest of your life. God doesn't want you for your whole faith journey to be just standing there. He wants you to engage, and he gives avenues for you to engage. What we do during worship songs, during messages, it isn't just stuff we made up on a Sunday morning. It's stuff that God calls us to do in his word. And it means singing, crying out to God, no matter how bad you sound. Okay, I sound horrible. Okay, so just sing to God. That is engaging in worship. Sometimes it's just lifting your hands to God in an act of saying, God, you are bigger than me. Sometimes it's when you're broken and you don't know what else to do. It's dropping down on your knees before God and worshiping him as a posture to say that, God, I am submitting to you. It is expressing yourself to God. And no matter if you're introverted, extroverted, you like to dance, or you're horrible at dancing like me, okay, expression requires action. And God wants us to push ourselves out of our comfort levels and engage in worship. Engage in acts of saying, God, you are worth it. God, you are awesome. This is what it looks like to engage in worship. Now, why does God call us to do this? Is it just because he wants to make us look ridiculous on Sunday mornings when we're up there with our hands in the air? We're like, Okay? No. Okay? God does not want to make us look ridiculous, okay? And it's not just because he's trying to get us to jump through hoops. It's because there's something bigger happening in worship. See, worship is the practical action of engaging with God. Worship is the practical action of engaging with God. As we look at Psalm 100 a little farther and we look at verse 4, it says this: enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Now we learn in these verses, right, that giving thanks and praising God is a part of worship, but there's something that's assumed in these verses that we need to understand, and that's that in worship we are entering into the presence of God, that we are there with God, that God is real. This imagery for the Israelites would have brought up the temple that they walked into where they literally saw the presence of God dwell. But in us, the presence of God dwells within us and here as we come together as a group. And so when we are worshiping, whether we're walking out in our own lives each day or we're here on a Sunday morning, we are entering into the presence of God. And to engage in worship is not just to do weird acts and crazy things because we want to. It's because we're engaging with God and we're trying to reach out to him and experience him. See, too often in worship, I think we do this the reverse. We think when we experience God, then I'll start to engage. We feel like God's there, and then we raise our arms. We feel like God's there, and then we start to sing out. And listen, there's nothing wrong with that. God meets us where we're at. But if that's the only way we worship, we're missing out on the way God has called us to worship. Because the reality is, God has placed these acts of worship in front of us so that we can engage with them and then experience him. We have to engage first. And it's not that God's just waiting on us. Guys, God already engaged. He sent Jesus Christ. He's waiting for us to respond. And he wants us to engage with him. So these acts, they're not just hoops to jump through. They're tools that God has given us to engage with him, to build our relationship with him, to experience his presence in our lives. As we engage, he engages and we experience him. And listen, this doesn't mean that every worship experience is meant to be some mountaintop experience where you're crying and tearing up and like on the floor sobbing mess, okay? That's not what this means, okay? Because that's not how relationships work, right? Marriages aren't always mountaintop experiences. Just ask my wife, okay? So they're not always mountaintop experiences. There's points where things aren't going well or we don't feel like things are going well in our relationship. But imagine in our marriages if we chose to just disengage when that happens. That makes the situation worse. It doesn't make the relationship better. And it works the same way with God. If things we feel like aren't going great with God, first of all, it's not because God has done anything. But if we choose to disengage, if we choose not to push ourselves to engage into worship, to live for him, nothing's going to get better. We need to engage in worship and engage with God because we need to experience God. Yeah, you know, I remember we were at Creation, not this past week, but the week before, and we had a lot of good experiences and a lot of fun stuff, and at times it felt like we were sitting on the surface of the sun, but it was a lot of fun. And if any of you guys have ever been to Creation, you know the experience, okay? It's a lot of music and worship and speakers and jumping up and down and weird dances. I have a video, don't worry, okay? Lots of crazy stuff happening. Okay? And I remember seeing this. One of my favorite parts about Creation is seeing this play out in our students. Because we have a rule at Creation that we kind of invented the first year we went, and that was that we're not going to let people sit down. So we like dragged people to their feet, okay, and jumping up. Because as students, you know, I remember you feel awkward getting up, and so instead we'll just carry you until you do. Okay, so, but it's cool to see students do this. Students who don't normally engage in worship in the way they do at Creation, and to see them start to come out of their shells and engage in worship. Maybe at first it's because the person next to them is forcing their hand in the air, okay? Because they're all holding hands. I don't know exactly, but as they start to engage more, I see it every time. They start to experience God in new ways. And God meets them where they're at. There's one student, he'll know who he is, and some of the Creation guys will know, that I could see it play out almost every day. He would engage in worship, and then tears would be coming, and he'd be looking at God, and he'd be holding the people next to him, and you'd talk to him and be like, you know, why? And he'd just be like, I'm just happy. And of course, like me, you know, and then I'm like crying, and then we're all crying, and it's all a mess. And so, but God was meeting him where he was at, but he chose to engage first. He chose to engage in the acts of worship and then experience God. See, we need to take worship seriously because it's a vital part of our relationship with the Creator. We need to engage with God, then we need to engage with worship. We need this in our lives. And so it does matter if we worship. We miss out on a part of our relationship with God when we choose not to engage in worship, either on Sunday morning, during our weeks, as we're living our lives. If we choose not to engage in worship and engage with God, we are missing out on the fullness of a relationship with God. And God has opened the doors for us to do this. Now, some of you guys, I don't know where you're at, and you may be sitting here saying, that's great, Josh, but you don't know what my life is like this week. I don't have anything to give. I don't have the energy. I don't have the energy to engage in this way. I don't even know what's going on. I don't have a reason to worship. And it's exactly that reason that we need to talk about what I think is the most important reason we worship, and the reason we always have a reason to worship. And that's that worship is not about us. It's not about what your life is like right now. Although that can drive your worship. It's not about your experiences. It's not about that. It's about the one person who deserves worship more than anything else, and that is God himself. See, worship is telling God how worth it he is. See, God is worthy of all the worship we can give him. Every ounce of it. Hear this morning. There is nothing greater, no one greater than the God of the universe. And there is no one more deserving of our time and energy than God himself. And we always have a reason to worship because we always have God. You know, if you look at the Psalm, there's this pattern that happens in Psalm 100. Verses 1 and 2 explain the idea of worship. Verse 4 explains the idea of worship. And then verse 3 and 5 explain the why. Verse 3 says this, "Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture." What it is saying is, worship God. Why? Because look at how great God is. Look at how incredible God is. Look at how powerful God is. Look at who God is. He is God. He made you. He made me. He made this earth. He created everything. That third song we sang does nothing but declare the works of God, and he created everything. There is no one greater than God. And there is no one more deserving of our time. See, without realizing it, guys, each day we worship something. because we give something our time. Whatever that something is. I don't know what it is for you, but whatever it is that you spend all your time with, and I'm not saying it's bad to spend time with whatever you are. If you're thinking of your wife, please don't be like Josh said, don't spend time with my wife, okay? That's not what I'm saying, okay? But what I am saying is that if your wife is your God, you have a problem. There is nothing more deserving of the number one spot in our life than God. And we worship every day. So when somebody says to me, I don't have the energy to worship, the reality is we're worshiping something. And so we need to give that to God because he deserves all of it. So the first reason God deserves all of our worship is this, because of how great he is. See, we should worship God because he is great. We should worship because God is great. He is greater than anything. You know, I don't know how many guys watch different like late night shows and stuff or watch YouTube, but I always watch this bit from a late night show with the host James Corden. It's called Carpool Karaoke. Anybody ever watch it? Okay, good. There were like two people in the first service, so win. Okay, so I love Carpool Karaoke. I watch it a lot. I've seen most of them because, you know, I'm sad. So anyway, I've watched a lot of Carpool Karaoke. And for those of you who don't know the show, what it is, they bring on musical artists with them and they drive around and they sing the artist's songs in the car and they do some wacky things while they're doing it and he interviews them. And I realize as I'm, bless you, I realize as I'm explaining this, okay, that it sounds super lame. But work with me, it's fun, okay? So there was this recent one where they had Paul McCartney on the show, okay? Paul McCartney's from the Beatles, okay? If nobody knows, okay? So I really like this, okay? Because I don't listen to the Beatles all the time, but as a musician, to me, they're like, they're amazing, okay? They're great. They have changed music, okay? So Paul McCartney's on there, and they're doing wacky stuff, and it was a longer segment, and they were going to the streets that Paul McCartney grew up in and walking around, walking into a barber shop he got his hair cut at, you know, all this weird stuff. But this interesting thing kept happening as the video would go on. People would be walking around, and they'd look over, and they'd be like, look, that's Paul McCartney. Okay? And then they would stop whatever they were doing. I don't know. I think it was a Monday. People should have been working, okay? But they stopped and like looking at Paul McCartney and just started following them around, okay? So like, and this kept happening. And more people would see what was going on. They'd be like, look, it's Paul McCartney. And they'd stop and they'd follow Paul McCartney around. And then more people would walk around. They'd be like, hey, look, there's a lot of people over there. Look, it's Paul McCartney. And they stop and they start following them around until they had this huge crowd of people cheering. And then they all started singing Beatles songs because what else do you do when Paul McCartney's walking around, okay? So they just started to congregate. They congregated because there was somebody great there. Okay, whatever, however you feel about the Beatles and about Paul McCartney and whatever it was, the guy's a great musician. And for people who really love that, he was great to them. And so they stopped. Because the reality is where there is something great, people will gather. It's why when something crazy happens on the side of the road, whether you think it's great or not, all of a sudden all the cars slow down. When there's something great in front of us, we stop to look no matter what we're doing. And what that says to everyone else is there's something great going on here or there's somebody who's dumb on the road, okay? It says that there is something here to see. And that's why we need to come together to worship, because whether you realize it or not, the way you are spending your time, the way that you are worshiping, the way you are engaging is either saying to the world that there is something great here or it doesn't matter. And you may not mean to say that, but when we choose to disengage from worship, when we choose not to live our lives for Christ, we are saying, God, you are not worth it. And that is why it's vital that we worship every single day, because God needs to be declared that he is worth it. That's why in 1 Chronicles 16, 23 to 25, it says, sing to the Lord all the earth. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. Our worship, whether we're living for Jesus in our workplaces at home, or what we do here this morning, It matters because we are declaring amongst the darkness, amongst the pain, amongst the hurting people that there is something great that can change their lives, and his name is God. We're declaring to the world that God is real. When we stand here this morning, worshiping, singing to him, listening to his word, taking time out of our days to wake up earlier on a Sunday morning, for most of us, okay? Waking up earlier to come here, we are saying that God matters and he is great. We are saying to the world that there is something better than all the other crap that you're turning to, and that is the God of the universe. We are saying that there is a God who created the earth, who made us in his image, who holds the earth in his hand. That song said, who holds the physics of the day, right? The laws that we are here, you are able to stand on the ground and not float up into space because of God. And we are saying to the world that he is real, he matters, and he is greater than anything else that they can go to. You know, I experienced this when I was in Haiti a couple years ago, and you guys have heard this story, some of you, because I've told it from here, but it applies to this message. Because I remember going to Haiti. I'd never been to a third world country before. I'd never been overseas at that point, okay? The farthest I'd gotten was where we toured in the U.S., okay? So this was a new experience for me. I remember I was like 18 or 19 years old, and we went to Haiti. And I remember being there the whole week and just being blown away by the devastation that was in front of me. Buildings destroyed, people on the streets, just things. And I just remember starting to feel bad for everybody that was here. Until Sunday, it all changed. I remember sitting in their worship service. And you think church here is long, guys. It's like 2.5 hours, okay? So in a building with no air conditioning, okay? And no coffee, okay? So we're in this room, okay, for 2.5 hours, but I was just blown away. Because the second they started worshiping, it was like an explosion went off in this little building. People were rejoicing, hands were in the air, people were singing to God, letting loose. The building felt like it was bursting with people. There was energy, and I had no idea what was going on because I don't speak Creole. Okay, but I knew by the look on their faces and the actions that they were taking, the postures that they were taking, that these people were worshiping because they knew there was a great God amongst them. And we think we have it bad here, guys. They were going through things that we could never even imagine. And yet they worshiped with such fervor and energy that I had never seen before. And they weren't doing it because everything was great. They were doing it because God is greater than everything. God is greater than your circumstances. God is greater than all of it, and he deserves everything we can give him, and people deserve to be able to see how great God truly is through our worship and through our lifestyle. We need to worship God. The second reason that we should be giving God everything we have is not just because he's great, but because of what he has done. See, we should worship because of all God has done for us. Remember what I said, verses 3 and 5, they explain why. So when we go to verse 5, it says this: for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. In the Bible, guys, there's some words that should pop out to us when we read them, and one of them is for. Because what for explains to us is that everything I've explained to you, here's the reason why you should do it. What the author of Psalms is saying is you should worship because of the Lord being good, the Lord loving us, and that enduring forever, nothing destroying his love, his faithfulness to us. And how he never gives up, he never lets us go. We should worship because God is not only great, but that great God loves us more than anything in the world and is always there for us. So we always have a reason to worship because God is incredible and God is loving. I've told a couple creation stories this morning, and my last one involves myself, actually, because this hit me hard when I was at Creation when I was younger. I went to Creation for the first time when I was in seventh grade, and I was reminded of this story because I was talking with one of our students at Creation, and she was not really getting into the worship at that point in time. I think she was just like deadly sunburned. I have no idea. But we were trying to get her to come up, and she made this comment that made me laugh, and she said, "Josh, I'm internally worshiping," okay? And there she is. Okay, so she's the drummer for this morning. Okay, so, but she made this comment, internally worshiping, and I told her I was gonna, you know, give her a hard time because we were talking about engaging in worship, but also because it reminded me of myself. Now, I remember when I went to Creation for the first time, I was not the guy who like hands raised or singing loud at worship, okay? I was the guy with like the arms crossed, you know, like kind of like just like processing. I was trying to look really deep, but really I just didn't want to move my arms, okay? So like standing there worshiping, and I did this thing where, I don't know if you do this, but I call it the quiet singing, you know what I mean? Like you're kind of trying to worship, but you don't want anybody to hear you, so you're like, God, Jesus, okay? So like okay, that type of thing. I don't know if any of you guys have ever done that, okay? I have, okay? And that's what I was doing, and that was most of my week, right? I remember dealing with this, but then something changed. Because one speaker the one night started talking, and as they always do at Creation, they start talking about a whole bunch of different stuff, and they eventually get back to the gospel, the story of Jesus. And this speaker just happened to start talking about something that connected with me. And he started talking about depression and suicide. And see, that year I had been working through my own depression, my own stuff that I was dealing with. And God used the youth group that I was a part of, the friends that I was with, to change my entire life that year. And it was a turning point for me. And I just remember thinking about what God had done for me, and it was like a switch flipped that night. My hands were in the air, I was worshiping, I was singing like I had never done before, and that was really unfortunate for the people next to me, okay? But I was in it. Not because I was trying to put on a face for people around me, not because I felt like I had to, but because in that moment, I decided not to focus on what other people thought. I decided not to focus on what was going on right now. I focused on what God had done for me. And because of that, God deserved everything I could give him in that moment. Listen, I've said it up here this morning before when I've preached. I don't know where you're at in life. I don't know what life looks like right now for you. I have no idea some of your guys' life situations. Some of you guys may show up here and put on a face of everything being great, and it's not. And I know that because I did that. But I can tell you one thing, and that's that I know who my God is. And I will say it over and over again, that I don't care what your situation is. The reality is there's a God in this universe that loves you more than anything else in this world. The God who split the Red Sea, that broke down the walls of Jericho, that delivered the Israelites, and ultimately sent his son on this earth to live amongst us and die for us and then kick death in the butt. That is who God is. And so I don't care what your situation is. It doesn't change that truth. That is who God is today and will always be. So we always have a reason to worship. We always have a reason to jump up and shout for joy because the God of the universe is amongst us. He loves us and he cares about you and he is never going to let you go. That is who God is. And so let's worship this morning. I don't know where you're at. I don't know who you are. Some of you guys, this may be your first Sunday. Some of you guys, I've known you for the last couple years. And yeah, if it's your first Sunday, I'm sorry. Okay, so, but some of you guys I know well, okay? And wherever you're at in life, just let go. Take whatever it is you have that you're holding on to, give it over to God, and just worship him. As we close the service this morning, the worship team was giving me a hard time because I'm going to steal their phrase as we sing this morning. Just worship God. Engage with God. Give it all to God. Because that God is real. That God is here this morning in front of you. He is here. So worship him. Give it all to him. Engage with him. Forget what people think. Forget what you're comfortable with. Forget it all. Give your hands up to God and give him what he deserves because he loves you. The reality is this morning, guys, what we do this morning and this week matters. Because when we worship, we have the chance to engage with the God of the universe. And that God deserves all our time. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for this chance to be here as a church family together to come before you, to worship you. I thank you that you open your arms wide to us and give us the opportunity to worship you, to engage with you, to sing to you, to praise you, to listen to you. And so, Father, I just pray right now that you just make yourself known amongst all that are here this morning. That you make your presence known this morning. Help us to engage with you this morning and this week. Give us the strength to live for you this week. Thank you for everything you do. Pray this in your son's name. Amen.